Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery. I apologize. I'm listening to a webinar myself, and I got distracted, and I lost track of time. But you are listening to the live broadcast of the Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight is, let's see, tonight is November 17th, right? Yep, it is the 17th. Oh, my gosh. November 17th, 27. Okay. I'm booting up the song here because I always like to start the show with the song. So let's listen to the song first. That's Mia Keen, You Are Not Alone. I'm going to get myself together because I was in the middle of that webinar for work, by the way. It was a work webinar. But enjoy the song, and I'll be back with you in a moment here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Road to Recovery live. See you later. See you soon.
Pain inside your darkness, cut so deep you'd rather die. Standing on your own left you wounded, with an emptiness that longs to feel alive.
And
Okay, there you have it. You're not alone. I know it sounds like I fell behind here. Sorry about that. But you're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. Here, we're part of the, well, it's complicated, but hey, what do you care, right? What do I care? As long as we can hear each other and we can communicate. This is a live broadcast. Yes, it is. And I am the host. My name is Dan Chuba. That's right. I am a real being, a real human being that works a program in recovery, and I am a recovering alcoholic. That's correct. I am a recovering alcoholic for 24 years, 2 months, and 17 days. But who is counting? Okay, yeah. No applause. No applause is not necessary. Although I'm really impressed and satisfied myself with the fact that I've been able to stay the course and fight temptations over the years, and, you know, because I know what I want today, and I know really more than anything of what I don't want in my life anymore. Now, this is a live show, by the way. I told many people, and if you want to call in, you can. The area code is 323-580-5755. If you would like to join me in a conversation, if you would like to have a question, a comment, tell your own story, what happened to you, share your own personal experience, strength, and hope, I'd love it. We'd love it. The listening audience would love it, okay? And I get so many people that tell me later, not on the air, but off the air, saying, Dan, that was really good. I learned so much, and thank you, and, you know, could you tell those people, you know, my heart goes out to them, and, you know, thank you for the courage and the strength it took for you guys to talk about it. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I do this show, is to empower people to want more in your life and to go the, you know, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to get and stay sober. You know, it's just the world we live in today is so, I don't want to say, I don't know the correct word, but like encouraging to drinking alcohol, to not staying in the here and now, and escaping. It's all about escape. Oh, I'm escaping. So don't escape. You know, at the worst case scenario, join me in my journey into sobriety. And that's what we do here on The Road to Recovery. Every week, we're in our 8th year. Okay, well, no, 7th year. Yeah, 7th year. We started, when did we start? Oh, gosh, 2012, May of 2012. So June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah, you know, in fact, I just celebrated my 6-month wedding anniversary this last week. So lovely Mrs. Martha. Yeah, and I'm really excited about it. I'm really happy, and I have no regrets. I'm filled with love and caring, and I just love coming home. This is a time, it's amazing. I love to come home because I got a wife that respects me. I have a mutually respectful relationship that, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just great. I don't know, what's your cool relationship look like to you? Do you have one? If you have one, why don't you call in? 323-580-5755. If you'd like to share with me in the audience, or just me, although I can't really take off the air calls right now because I don't have a studio engineer to help me out hanging onto the calls. But you know what? Call in anyway, and we'll talk about it. You know, you don't have to give your name, but you can talk, you know, and tell us, you know, what is a good relationship to you? Have you ever had one? Would you like one? You know, I didn't have one before I sobered up. I thought I had all kinds of great relationships, but most of my relationships, truthfully, involve, I don't know, sex. That's how I used to determine whether I had a good relationship or not, is through if I had good sex, right? What kind of relationship is that? That's really really not a, I don't know that that really describes a relationship other than, you know, just a partner for, you know, sharing intimacies. I don't even know, you know, I don't even know, can you really truly be intimate with somebody if you don't share emotionally with them? You could share physically with them, but it's just a more or less a physical act of doing something. Oh, well, doesn't matter. Hey, you know, last night, the 16th of November, I gave the open speaker meeting lead at Anona West in West Chicago. You know, and I broadcast from West Chicago. That's where my real estate office is. So it's not like, you know, we're big time promoting the real estate office, you know, because, you know, a lot of people still are very uncomfortable when we talk about that I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink. I'm an alcoholic and recovery and I don't drink. I was at a party yesterday. It was great. It was like a pre-Thanksgiving party with some really good friends who've been really there for me over the years. Excuse me, Linda and Bill. And Linda and Bill were like the family that I've never had. I have six brothers and I have six sisters, but I just have a hard time being around them, especially for long periods of time. And Bill and Linda came to the forefront. Actually, I knew Bill. I knew Linda before Bill knew Linda, and we hung out together. She bought a house, sold a place with me, bought a place with me. I really appreciate her loyalty to me. And it was great, and yeah, it was pretty good. We had a good time. We met, and she would invite me over for the holidays. And it was more so important for her when she got involved with her husband, Bill, because she had now a mother-in-law and a father-in-law of Greek origin who were, you know, I don't know how to best say it, very opinionated, domineering, and while they were welcome, you know how this is, you welcome them, you want to see your family, but you really don't want them to hang around because they can be extreme pain in the asses. And Bill's father was pretty much sort of that way. And nice guy. And the funny part of it was I came when the first time I met him, he and I kicked it off really well. And I always attribute my ability, I think it's a gift that I can handle being around really domineering type individuals and not be offended or intimidated by this kind of individual because I grew up with it. And I finally drew a line in the sand and said, I'm not doing it anymore. I don't fight back. I don't push back. But I don't accept and take and let somebody walk all over me, and I guess Linda thought that was cool, and so I became a regular when her father and mother-in-law would stop by. her mother and father at the time loved me as well, until one day the mother bought a home out in Michigan. Mother and father bought a home out in Michigan and brought me the home inspection, and showed it to me and said there was mold on the underneath of the deck. And she was upset that the home inspector didn't catch it and was very upset that they didn't notice. Now, she showed me pictures, and if they were the pictures, I wasn't even bothered by that. It was like, how do you see that? I mean, what kind of expectations, unrealistic expectations did you have? And when I said that to her, I said, well, I don't see that really as that big of a problem, because it wasn't like there was rotted wood or anywhere. It was just some staining from, I don't know, water being there, who knows. And I wouldn't have chastised the home inspector at all, but they did. They raised such a stink that they got their money back, and the people, the inspector apologized, and having said what I said, I was no longer fun to talk to by the mother-in-law, or by her mother. The father had no problem because he didn't see any problem with the inspection either, but the mother, thinking that I was going to side with her and agree, you know, I have my own opinion, and I don't have to agree with everybody. And I'm sorry she didn't like it, but oh well. And, you know, to this day, I saw her yesterday as well, and she still has a little bit of a bug up her butt about the fact that I didn't agree with her and feel like this guy should have been put to hell for what he did. Oh, well. What am I talking about? You know, I used to drink, and my best drinking got me, or my best thinking actually got me drinking. Yes, it did. And what happened there was I, over the course of my drinking career, which was about 20 years, I'd say, about 16 years old to 38, so 22, okay, so it's two less years than I've been sober. I somehow managed to get married three different times. I accumulated, and I'm not proud of this, three driving under the influence, driving DUIs, and one of them cost me, well, they all cost me, but the second one financially cost me a lot of money. Because I'm a real estate broker. I make my living selling properties. It's very hard to sell properties when you cannot drive. You know, and it's amazing, because I've got people I know today, okay, that, because I meet them through the club, that are battling DUI court cases, and they are, you know, full of spit and vinegar, just like I was, demanding, oh, this is unfair, and this, that, and everything. And I do believe that there's a degree of unfairness with the police and the court system. But on the other hand, I totally think it's fair because, number one, I am learning that in today's world, in any world, but, you know, that you shouldn't drink and drive. If you're going to drink, even one drink, don't drive. You know, take Uber, get a friend to drive you, make plans in advance. You don't know how that drink will affect your abilities to navigate on these roads today. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some serious traffic out there these days that even sober, it's hard to get through. I can't imagine what life would be like today if I was still drinking. And I was trying to, I'd kill myself or somebody for sure, and that's tragedy, okay? I'm glad I don't want to do that. I'm glad I don't do that. I don't think that anybody has the right to do that. And yet, there was a time that I didn't see it as a problem because, again, I lived in a state of denial. I lived in a state of denial. I didn't want to believe that I had a problem with drinking. I didn't want to believe that I could lose control of my vehicle. I never had an accident under the influence, never. Never lost control of my vehicle, nothing. I got tickets because I was driving, according to the police, erratically. And they felt that my driving merited pulling over. And they were correct. In fact, they did it a couple times, but they didn't give me a ticket each time they pulled me over. A couple times they let me go because I could talk a story, and somehow I convinced them that I was okay. Today, I don't know. But I'm just glad I don't drink anymore. And if you drink, don't drive, okay? I'm not opposed to people drinking. That's not my business. What you do in your life and in the privacy of your life or how you live your life, that's your business, okay? I may have an opinion, but it's my opinion. It doesn't mean that it has to be expressed to you or that you have to live by my opinion. You live by whatever opinion and life of your own, but maybe you want to think about it. Maybe you want to open up your ears a little bit and hear what it's like to get two DUIs and have to live, do your job, try to do your job with no driver's license. And I did not drive. That's one thing I'm very proud of. I did not drive. Well, I drove one time, and it was like like a couple days after I was told I can't drive. I mean, it wasn't like anybody come with a big thing. They just said your driving privileges are hereby suspended starting this day, and that was it. And I thought it was for 1 year, and then it turns out it was for 1 year, and then I had to go and apply for licensing all over again. So that took an extra 10 months. Yeah, it was like, or 8 months. It was like a real challenge. And I had to go in front of a hearing panel and talk to them and wait and, oh gosh, you know. And for you, anybody who's ever given birth, okay, and you're getting into the final month of this pregnancy, maybe even the final months, and you understand the uncomfort, and you just want it over, you want it done. Now, I don't know that it's fair to liken it to giving birth, but I'm just liking the anxiousness, the anticipation of getting it over and getting answers and getting on with my life. But, you know, what's amazing is I hadn't quit drinking by the time I applied for my license back, I did quit drinking. I had quit drinking. I was still without a driver's license when I started my not drinking. I didn't have a license. I was still on suspension, and I had applied for it. And I did get a judicial driving permit. The only good news about that was that I used it, and I was okay to use it, but, you know, I actually took a trip to California. Now, my judicial driving permit allowed me to drive within 50 miles of the office. I don't think California really qualified for 50 miles from the office. I think it was a little bit more than 50 miles. What do you think? Yeah, of course. We did. It was longer. And I justified it. It's amazing, really. It is always amazing to me how we justify things, okay, because we can. And I did a lot of that. I did a lot of justifying, okay, when I was caught up in my drinking life in times. You know, today I don't make that many. Well, you know, I'm still capable of justification, of justifying things, but I don't attempt to do, I try to do more of the next right thing than not. Now, I'm going to remind you, okay, one more time, area code 323-580-5755, if you would like to share anything, if you'd like to say hello. I want to do a shout-out to my friend Clea on the West Court, or Cleora, whatever her name, C-L-E-O-R-A, Cleora, okay, who's doing some incredible work on the West Coast while she's still fighting her addiction, okay? She's managing to stay sober, and I give her a lot of credit because she's very candid and open about when her disease is kicking in and calling her from the depths of the grave saying, hey, Cleora, use, come on and use. And she's around a lot of people in recovery. She has been the main focus and reason many people are in recovery because she's very encouraging. And I see that, and you know, I try to offer some encouragement to her, and we've also tried to get her on the air here, and we tried three times, and three times she was going to do it, and three times, for whatever reason, she was unable to complete the coming and showing, okay, and you know, I got to tell you something that. At you. Okay, I'm getting people, you know, sending me. Sending me emails, okay? I'm on the air. You guys can call in. That's probably a better thing to do is, you know, call in on the air, okay? If you can. That would be cool. We welcome that opportunity if you can do that. And listen, you know, let's talk. Now, you know what? I got a coffee in the other room, so take a moment here. Let me. I think I got rid of the song. So you're going to have a couple of minutes of silence. But just wait because I'm getting my coffee. So I can... Coffee! Coffee! I want some coffee! Now, that's the bad part.
You can hear me, Ed. Can you hear me?
That's the bad part of doing this show alone. You know, Steve helped out. Thank you, Steve. By the way, Steve and his wife, Orlando, they were our guests last week. Thank you for being on the show and sharing. And Steve always, you know, sets up the webpage so you guys can get the link to call in the show, listen to the show on live, and I appreciate that. And, yeah, when we don't have anybody to help out directly here, you know, we're going to have some dead air. So, sorry about that. Now, I just got done doing a webinar for real estate. Okay, I'm signing up for a coach. Okay, you know what? Today, that's a very popular thing. Coaches, life coaches. You know, in AA, we call them sponsors. And sponsors, for me, my sponsor for me was very impacting and helpful. Not only, well, I got sober, but my sponsor helped me to stay sober. He showed me different things in different ways that I could learn to stay sober. And that was a good thing. And I was very fortunate that I had the opportunity to learn and from this guy how to stay sober, you know? Really. Holy cow. Yep. Get and stay holy mackerel. Somebody sent me a video. Wow. Buckle up, people. Oh, man. And if you don't, it's amazing. This car gets hit by a truck, and there's three or four people go flying out of it. I don't know if they made it. You almost want to ask. Holy crapola. Okay. Well, I know it's unrelated to this, but you never know. You never know if it was driving under the influence or what. But, okay. So, sponsors, life coaches, kind of same, kind of similar, different. You're not going to get a life coach or a work coach unless you're going to listen to them. The same thing with a sponsor. You know, now, a life coach, if you're hiring somebody and you're paying them money, I don't think they care whether you require anything of their services because they're going to get paid regardless, unless, of course, they have a sense of pride and merit. I was sponsored to many people over the course of 24 years. And over the course of 24 years, I was a sponsor, and I had people that didn't do anything to request assistance sponsoring, even though I explained to them that I was available and willing to help them with whatever they needed in help and assistance. And, you know, long story short, I said to them, I don't need a title, okay? I don't need a title. And I suggested that they would go get a different sponsor because, you know, they'd look at me and tell people, they go, you know, yeah, this guy's my sponsor. And I'm like, why are you telling people that I'm your sponsor when you don't do anything as it relates to sponsorship? Okay. Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, I'm sitting here and I have a niece that sent the picture to us, and her sister became a Carmelite nun. Okay, she's young. She's got to be 24 years old. She's young. She's beautiful. Very nice. And yet she became a Carmelite nun. And the thing about the Carmelite nuns is that they go away and they keep away from the crowds. So the last time I saw her, she's behind what appears to be a caged room. She can't intermingle with people outside that cage. She can, well, when we were there, before she became a nun, she was able to stick her head out and give hugs, but she couldn't leave that room. And now she's actually did the first part of her nunhood. I don't get it. Is that what the higher power wants? Well, that's her life. And again, you know, that's how people live their lives. And, you know, if that works for her, I guess I can support it, but I just don't get it. Okay. Oh, well. Sponsors. That's what we're talking about. Sponsors. Okay, I just did this. Why are you telling me again? I'm getting a text saying that he's doing another one. Okay. Doing it mobile. Sweet. Okay. So, listen, do you have a sponsor? Are you a sponsor? What do you know anything about a sponsor? If you're listening and you don't understand what recovery is all about, call in at 323-580-5755. Be glad to discuss it. Open up. You know, I try to share with you what works for me. You know, I offer suggestions. That's it. I offer ideas. I offer you what works for me. And you have to decide what works for yourself. In fact, one thing I want to clarify for anybody and everybody, whether you're in the program of recovery through Alcoholics Anonymous, although this show is not endorsed by Alcoholics Anonymous in any way, shape, and form because I'm not anonymous, okay? But I'd like to think it's an open meeting where people can openly talk about their recovery and what it was like, experience, strength, and hope. But the point I'd like to make more than anything is that Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, it's a program of suggestions. There are no rules Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, there are clubs that were formed, like the Anona Club and others similar, that were put together by members in recovery that wanted to have a more permanent location. So they created these clubs so that they could purchase property or secure leases. Because Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't sign any leases. They don't do any of that stuff. So you have to do it on your own if you want. And everything is it's a suggestion. So these people go ahead and do these things. But they can make rules as it relates to their clubs because it's their club. But it has little or nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous because that program is nothing but suggestions. Okay? Now, and what's really interesting is how comfortable and at ease I am letting people know that I work a program in recovery and that I am an alcoholic in recovery, okay? And the reason why I say that is because, you know, when I drink, you know, I didn't want anybody to know that I drank. I tried to keep it on the QT. And so when I finally got involved in recovery, I certainly didn't want, again, anybody to know, okay, about the fact that I was in recovery. I didn't. I was hoping that they would just not pay attention, just leave me alone. And that's one of the reasons why the program is called Anonymous, because, you know, in the beginning I was very skittish, and most people are. But I'm one of those people that I really feel like I learned and I've grasped really well the concept of what the program really is all about. And because of that, because I've grasped it so well, that I don't have a problem knowing, letting people know that I work a program recovery. Now, I am not a spokesperson in any way, shape, or form. I'm just me. But I'll tell you what, I wish I would have known about this program a lot sooner than when I did, to understand that it wasn't some loser's program. Yeah, loser's program, okay? And that's what I thought it was. I really thought it was a loser's program, and I thought that I was a loser, okay? Why? And that's because I didn't understand, and I want people to understand listening to this program. Now, I'm not a spokesperson, so you know what? I'm sure it's a whole lot better than what I'm making it out to be, too. Okay, so you got to take it with a little grain. Okay, this is just one person, and I've been doing it a long time, and sometimes I get a little boring. I get a little boorish, you know. That's what we talked about last night. you know, in my recovery, I used to complain to my sponsor in the beginning. I said, you know, these meetings are very boring. I don't even like going to them anymore. And he said to me, well, you know why the meetings are so boring? And I go, I have no clue why they are so boring. He goes, because you are boring. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm boring? You know, see, it's not a show that you go to and say, perform for me, people. It's a place of healing that we go to that we utilize to dump out the crazies in our head and try to figure out better ways of living and getting through life on life's terms and how to accept things that we can't always accept at the moment. The 12 steps are wonderful ways of living. And if you ever want to learn it, just listen in. We're going to talk a little bit about it. You know what? In about 5 minutes, I think I'll read why we were chosen. Why we were chosen. What do you mean, why we were chosen? Why were we chosen to be alcoholics? You know, I go to church with my wife, Martha. I was explaining earlier today to somebody, I forgot who asked me, but I go to church when she sings or when she plays on the bells team, because they do bells, they're ringing. It's very good. They're awesome. And the singing is good. And they got a great choir. Kudos to the music people, etc. But that's the only time I want to go. I don't want to go when Martha's not performing. I have no interest in church. I believe in God. I have a strong faith. I just don't believe I have to go to a house of worship to worship him. I believe that the whole world is his place of worship, and we should do and bring honor to him in most everything that we do. Do I? Not really. Okay, but I'm trying. I'm doing better, a whole lot better than I did before. And that's the best I can do. Okay? But I would rather be called an alcoholic than to be called a Christian. Because I think that that name Christian today has been whored out. It has been bastardized by the multitudes of people who create and commit sins and race to hide behind the term that they're Christians. It just doesn't work for me. I don't want to be known as that kind of a Christian. And I don't know that people can decide or, you know, determine the difference between them. Now, calling me an alcoholic, I have no problem with that, whether I'm in recovery or people think that I'm actively drinking, because my actions do speak louder than words, okay? My actions, you know, in being a Christian, as I know it, you know, people can wear a smile and still be sinning like crazy. And we've seen that many times. You know, it amazed me that Jim Baker is still on the air. And he still references God and Jesus. And I'm really not sure what kind of program he's got going on there. But he has a lot of followers, and he's got a new wife. And they seem to be doing something on the air. And kudos to them, I guess. It's not my job to pay attention to what he's doing in his life, but because mine's a full-time job taking care of me in my life. But being called an alcoholic, the reason why I don't mind that is because I'm already telling you that I'm a flawed person. The Christians want, you know, if being a Christian meant that it's accepted that we are sinners and that we fall and get back up, but, you know, we are taking the name of the number one dude, Christ, and expanding on it. Now, this guy, with maybe, I think, one exception, I think he did one thing that was not consistent with goodness and kindness, and I can't remember what the heck it was, but when he went into the house of prayer, house of God, and threw everybody out because they were selling things and turning it into a zoo, And I think that's the only time that the guy ever lost his temper. Aside from that, he was just a mellow dude. But we take that name Christian because we associate with that picture of Christ being a wonderful guy, an honest, fair-dealing individual on this earth. And yes, while we try to emanate that, I don't think we have a right to call ourselves that because I don't know that we are. But being called an alcoholic, I think, well, I know I feel more comfortable being called an alcoholic because it states right away that I got a problem. And I'm, you know, and if you stick around long enough to find out more about me, you'll find that I'm working on that problem, trying to get better. Yes, trying to get better. And if you don't stick around long enough to try and find out if I'm getting better or not, well, that's really not my problem. It's more your problem. And too bad for you because you're missing out on something good and special in knowing me. That's correct. Knowing me. But if you do take the time to get to know me, and people, you know, there are people that do, it's really wonderful. It really is wonderful. And, you know, yesterday, this the person who chaired the meeting at the open speaker meeting kind of flattered me. I felt good. I felt good hearing somebody talk about me in nice ways. You know, I don't necessarily hear that a lot. I don't know that we all hear that enough. And she was talking about all the things that I did and involved with. And, you know, and she mentioned I'm in the Lions. And, yeah, I'm the president of the Lions. But when I'm not the president, I'm an active member that helps out. See, I think that's key. Everybody wants to be the leader in their heads, not maybe in reality, but in their heads. And when they're the leader, it's a lot of responsibility. Like you got to attend all the meetings or most of them, you know, and you have to, you know, there's just a lot of responsibility to do. And when people, I've seen this many times, over the years in different functions and organizations, that when people complete the task of being president, they usually fall off the map and they're not seen or heard from again. Yeah. And yet here is this young lady talking about all these different things I do, and she said they're unrelated to AA. She said something like that. And when I had a chance to speak, I don't want to say I corrected her, but I did want to bring to her attention that, on the other hand, they really are all AA-related. And there was a look of surprise and questioning on her head. But when I explained that, as I got better and healthier, I started changing my way of life and doing things. I was no longer spending all my time chasing alcohol and women. Okay, which was a big part of my life. And, you know, licking my wounds from being arrested or getting in trouble, or I actually got beat up a few times, yeah. Okay, and that doesn't happen anymore in my life. I'm not getting beat up. I walk away, run away if I have to. I kind of skirt issues that are challenging that way. I certainly don't incite things like I used to. I don't spend my time at bars. There's nothing good that ever came out of me doing that. And chasing women. Well, you know what? I have a wife. I have a great wife. I don't have to chase her anywhere. I like chasing her. I mean, she doesn't really run from me. But, you know, it's a whole different life. And when that first initially freed up before Martha was in my life, but when that time freed up, there was like a vacuum. I did the fourth and the fifth step, and I explained yesterday that there was this great big vacuum of space that was empty, and that's when I mentioned I was bored, and that's when my sponsor mentioned that I was boring. And today, I have a full life because I volunteer as much as I can without compromising too much of my relationship time with my wife. But I feel good about it, and I like giving back. Yesterday, at my friend Bill and Linda's house, they had, we didn't think Martha was going to join us, but it turned out that Martha and her daughter found a wedding dress. They were looking for a wedding dress for her youngest daughter, Christy. Christy is getting married in September of next year, and they went out looking for dresses, and lo and behold, it looks like they found one. And I know that it's just so funny how that's a big thing when you can find the wedding dress of your dreams, and I guess you found one after looking in a couple places. Found it out in Geneva, and it turned out they were close by to where we were getting together. So I called Martha, and I said, hey, come on, join us. And she did, and she came over, and we had a wonderful meal. Hors d'oeuvres were great. Her sister makes this killer onion dip that is just really to die. It's not to die for, but it's damn good. And then there was this raspberry vegetable dip that was really tasty, and some other things. And then there was turkey and all the fixings, and my contribution was green bean casserole. I made that. Nobody commented one way or another about it. I'm liking to think that it was wonderful. Okay, but that's just me. And that's okay. I can live in my bubble because it's my bubble. Okay, not in a pompous, arrogant bubble, but my bubble nonetheless. Okay. But Linda had said one of the assignments that she asked us to do was to come up with a very special fact about Thanksgiving, and she was going to pick a winner, or they were going to pick a winner, we were going to pick a winner of it, and the winner would get a prize. Well, I didn't know anything about it because I never read the whole invitation. I just read, you're invited, and I go, oh, great, good, I'll come. And I don't read all the details, okay? I always leave that up to my wife, you know. Well, this time she wasn't going, so she didn't read the details. But in the meantime, she did chop ahead, and she realized that there was some facts of interest. Number one, that the lady who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, okay, the little Mary had a little lamb, you know, that lady was also the one that wrote to the president and suggested that he make Thanksgiving a national holiday. I don't know if it was Roosevelt or whatever, but one of those presidents did it, agreed to. It was the same lady that did Mary Had a Little Lamb. Okay? That was a cool fact. A couple people had that same fact. Okay? And then when it was my turn to talk and tell a fact, well, my fact was simple. It talked about how, you know, Linda and Bill were an important part of my life. And I got to tell you, it was great that they'd always invite me to these dinners they'd have. And there was one, I don't know if it was Easter or Thanksgiving. I thought it was Thanksgiving, but it could have been Easter, that I went over to her house and nobody else was coming but me. And Linda made a ton of food. And she clarified it yesterday. I thought she decided that they were going on a diet, but it turned out that she had stomach flu that day. And she said she just couldn't look at the food anymore. So she decided to pack it all up and have me take it home with me. Okay? So here I am. I'm feeling good because here I'm a single guy living by myself, and all this food's coming my way. But reality set in and says, hey, Dan, there's no way you're going to eat all this food. You know? I don't need to be a glutton and a pig and put it in my fridge and then let it get rotten. That's just such a waste of food. So what did I do, and that's what I usually do, is I took all the food I thanked her and said, great, and I took it and I ran it over to the club, the AA club, to share it with friends that didn't have what I had. I remember coming into the program and, you know, I drank most of my lunches and dinners. So I didn't really care too much about food, but as I sobered up, I wasn't drinking, and I was hungry, and I had very limited money, and I couldn't often afford a meal, and yet people brought food for us, and I was grateful, and so I just figured it's my turn to return the favor. So in line with what the young lady said to me, she said, yesterday at the meeting, the speaker, she said, you're doing all this stuff, and I explained to her that everything I did, even though she didn't think it was AA stuff, even though it was the Lions Club and volunteering for Blooming Fest and other town events and et cetera, well, I told her that's AA stuff because that is what I'm filling my life and time with these days, okay? I'm filling my life and time with things that are more important to me than sitting in bars and chasing women. And so when I had this food and I dropped it off at the club, I was just returning a favor that somebody did for me, and I didn't necessarily take credit because whenever I have extra food, that's what I do. I drop it off there, and I don't even stick around to, hey, everybody, you know, I brought brownies last night. Now, my wife made the brownies, but she didn't make them for us. She made them for her game group, and they were extra, and Martha doesn't like extra food in the house because she'll eat it. She'll know why. Well, I'm pretty good at it. I don't eat that much crap anymore. I'm trying to be healthier because I'm getting up there and I want to stay healthy as long as I can. And I see other people struggling, okay? And I don't want that. So I brought it to the club because I know somebody will make good use of it. And she said, then you don't stop and take credit for it. There's no need to take credit for it. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this program. I really am. I'm a grateful alcoholic because if I didn't realize that I had a drinking problem and then realized that I didn't have a drinking problem but it was more of a thinking problem, I have a mental health problem, okay? My screws are loose. Not all the time, but they're loose. Doesn't mean I can't function. It just means that I got to be careful when I function, so that I don't screw them up even more, okay? And that's true. I have to realize that I don't want to screw them up any more than I am, okay? So I work a program in recovery, and I'm grateful for the fact that I stay sober, right? And it's a good thing, a very good thing. I'm grateful for that, right? Let's see here. Nope, nothing happening here yet. Okay. Well, again, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. Now, normally I play some music because I run out of things to say, so who knows? Maybe I will join this back. Let me see. I don't even know if I queued up my Marilyn Scott. Marilyn Scott. I love Marilyn Scott. And she sang a song that really touched my heart years ago. Okay. It was called The Last of All Days. And the reason why it got me thinking is because, you know, I kept thinking, boy, am I wasting my life? You know, am I wasting my life? Absolutely, I was. I was wasting my life with so many things, okay? And I don't want to waste my life anymore. I want to live a good life. I want to live as long as possible, enjoy the company of the lovely Mrs. Martha, the Mrs. Martha, okay, and rock on. That's what I'd like to do. So it requires me to do healthier things, and so I try to do my best to do healthy things and to stay healthy, okay? And so that song, The Last of All Days, was a great song that said to me, it spoke to me, it said, hey, Dan. Okay. Hey, Dan Chuba, because that reminds me of my friend, John. John Apple. He was the, what do they call, minister of worship, you know, for the church. I don't know. Sometimes I think that, you know, I think we lose focus when we are trying to be more than we need to be. Lose focus, right? Oh, well. That's for another day. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to play some Marilyn Scott for a while. And when we come back after, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes, we will talk about why we were chosen. We've done this before. We'll do it again. There's a lot of repetition in this program. And maybe you get something out of it. Maybe you don't. Okay? If you want to listen, please do. If you don't, okay, I respect that too. All right? But kick back and enjoy this song from Marilyn Scott called The Last of All Days. And we'll be back with more of The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio in a few moments, maybe about 15, 20 minutes. Okay? It would be nice if I had some sound up here. Let's have some sound.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything that you could? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you we'd only begin to start living our lives if today were the last of all days. If today were the last of all days. me that just sounds better, 'cause it means happiness for you. There is so much in life for you to feel, unfound and widespread, or yet so still. A mind excursion can be such a thrill, you feel satisfied. Take a chance and ride the photo beauty of the sky.
Cannot live yet near. Thank you.
Alan Scott. Beautiful, beautiful man.
Click.
This is it possible to read?
I'm in Amsterdam with.
So, you want to make money trading, right?
Why call 2 minutes? So, the fun thing with.
Okay, we're back with Tim.
Okay, baby. Baby. Hello, people. I'm back. I'm not going to sit through commercials, so there you go. All right, you're listening to The Road to Recovery. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly here because I'm done talking tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we touched on something that was good. I hope you enjoyed Marilyn Scott. Shout out to my friends, Anna in New York. Keep up the good work. You're doing great things. Cleora, you're just incredible. And Angelia. We haven't heard from you. I have to get a hold of you and find out what's up in your life. Maybe have you back on as a guest. Lee, you're also somebody special. We have to get a hold of you, too, and see if we can't get something happening with you. Tony, always a pleasure. We're getting closer. We're going to get something done for you, I think, soon. And everybody else, just hang in there. Live one day at a time. The holidays are coming up. Make sure you... you know, set an extra seat at a table for a friend. And if you need help, get it. I'm going to talk about codependency, I think, next week, okay? That's going to be my topic, codependency. So join us again next week at 7 p.m. for the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba, and I'm going to end this show tonight quickly, painlessly. We're going to, like, pull a bandage off. We're going to just say goodnight. Listen, reach out, especially in these times of holidays, to someone and let them know that you care. Let them know they thought about. We're going to talk codependency next week, okay? Thanks for listening if you did, and maybe join us next week live here on the Road to Recovery. Good night.